Avalon Center's podcast, Responding with Hope, is paid for by the Department of Social Services. Avalon Center offers emergency shelter, individual and group counseling, and much more to survivors of domestic and sexual assault. If you need help, call our 24-hour hotline at 833-537-0970 or visit us at avaloncenter.org.
Okay, hi guys. Leslie Jingleski here with Avalon Center. And we are doing our podcast today, Responding with Hope. And I'm excited. I'm here today with Candace Fox. She is coordinator of youth services here at Avalon. And February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So we have been talking about it all month. And I'm going to give you a chance. I want to, first of all, welcome. And tell me a little bit about you and how you got into working with Avalon.
I'm excited. Yeah. Today and every day this month, we're just really trying to promote awareness to teen dating violence awareness. But also we want to make sure that we continue to have this conversation past February. I know February is a really cool time to talk about love and happiness and dating. And dating is a really hot topic and it's easy to talk about because it's everything, everybody can relate to it. And I have a really fun time doing my job talking to teenagers about dating. But this is new to me. The domestic violence world and the sexual assault world is new. I've been working in human services for 6 years now. And that's been with intellectual disabilities and developmental disabilities and also mental health work. I've been doing a lot of case management and direct care. But this was my first opportunity to work with this world. And though we are all experts in our own relationships, there's definitely a science behind how to have a healthy relationship, and there's a foundation, and there are things that you can do in order to promote a healthy relationship and to have a healthy relationship. And that can start as early as 6 years old to learn some of the things that you can do. So my job is more on the prevention side of domestic violence. So we go into the schools and the community centers and we talk to kids ages 6 to 22, and we talk to them about how to have a healthy relationship. And then more towards middle school, high school, and college age, we talk about dating abuse, and we talk about looking for the red flags and warning signs, how to have a healthy relationship, what's power and control, what's abuse, and how to help a friend if a friend is going through something like that.
So you talked about schools. What schools are you in, or are you in which areas?
So we service a lot of different areas here at Avalon. That's just because, you know, we're in a really cool knit spot, but there's a lot of different areas right outside of Williamsburg that we service as well, like Gloucester and Matthews and Williamsburg. At the current time, we have a really good relationship with the WJCC schools, which is the Williamsburg school. So we are in Lafayette, War Hill, and Jamestown. We also have a really good relationship with Matthews, which is about an hour from here. So it's a nice little trek, but it's a beautiful little town. And then we also have a good relationship with Gloucester. We've been working on all the other service areas that Avalon services, but all of our services are voluntary. So whether someone wants us to come in and talk about them is up to them, but we're happy to continue the relationships that we have now with the schools that we're in right at this current time.
Absolutely. And you're always up for giving presentations to anybody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's awesome. And you know, you're made for this job. You have ended up where you should be because you are perfect and you're so relatable. And I think that is probably one of Avalon's biggest assets, to be honest. You go into the schools and you kind of tell me, you know, part of the things that you talk about, and I know teen dating violence, so we'll kind of narrow it down a little bit and we'll talk about those things that me as a mother of two teenagers terrifies me.
Right.
And it's something that when I grew up, we don't talk about these things. It's just kind of swept under the rug. But I think now Avalon's mission is kind of stopping that cycle And so that's where your job is so key. So kind of tell me about what you guys talk about.
Yeah, like I said, we're more on the prevention side, which is really cool. A lot of times when I tell people that I work for a domestic violence center, they're at first like, oh, you have this really, really hard job. Thank you for what you do. And like, yes, there are some really sad parts of my job, but most of my job is really, really exciting and really awesome because I get to talk to teenagers about dating. Every teenager wants to talk about what a teenager is interested in and can relate to. And so when I go into a class, there are the few students that are like, all right, I'm tired. I don't want to listen to this strange lady walking around my class, or I don't want to listen to this lady webinar on my computer. I want to do my own thing. But most of the time, you know, these students are interactive because it's dating. It's something that they do. It's something that they're interested in. It's something that affects their daily lives because everybody wants a partner. Everybody wants to have fun. Everyone wants to feel loved. And the best way to feel loved is to make sure that you're doing it in a safe way and that love is respect and it's not abuse. So our mission is just to have the conversation with these youth, like you said, because though we are in a lot of schools and I do a lot of presentations and I'm happy to talk about it with whomever I want, whomever will let me, there are some districts and there are, you know, some organizations that are weary to have us come in because it is a taboo subject. It is, nobody wants to admit that, you know, these students are in abusive, unhealthy relationships because you want to look on the outside like everything is fine. But the national average of students being in a unhealthy, abusive relationship is 1 out of 3.
Which is an awful statistic. It's scary. And talk about the other national statistics, because I know there's a few.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 1 out of 3 when I first got hired was something that like I hold on to and the reason why I am so passionate about my job. I think about, you know, when I was in high school or even like the friendships that I've had throughout my life. And I start thinking about, I didn't even know that was abuse at the time. Nobody told me. Like, I just thought they're going through a hard time and, you know, they're going to get through it. Or like, it was something that I was scared of. I wasn't knowledgeable about, and I didn't know what was really going on because it's not something that I have experienced or something that anybody talked to me about. Other national statistics are 1 in 11 female and approximately 1 in 15 male high school students report having experienced a physical dating violence in the last year.
About That's awful.
Yeah, 1 in 9 female and 1 in 36 male high school students report having experienced sexual dating violence within the last year. And then one more, I have 26% of women and 15% of men who were victims of contact sexual violence and physical violence and or stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime first experienced these and or other forms of violence by that partner before the age of 18.
Which is supposed to be the happiest time of your life.
Right, right. Yeah, this is when you figure out who you are, what yes. you like, what you don't like. You're in a safe space, you're there to learn, you're learning about yourself and others. And it's shocking. I mean, 1 in 11, it sounds like, oh, 11, 1 out of 11, but you think about it, you go into a room, I know it's not something that we can imagine right now during a pandemic because we're not allowed to be close to each other.
I know.
But try to think of before when you're going into a movie theater or something and you're sitting there with hundreds of people and 1 out of every 11 people
it's a lot.
Was physically abused by their partner, which is a lot.
It is a lot. And it's interesting because we talked about earlier today and you kind of touched on it just now, the subject needs to be discussed because the outcomes and the personalities that are developed as a result of this abuse, but you may not even, and what Avalon does is educate people, like you said, on what abuse is. And these things that you thought growing up were normal behaviors of dating, and it's not normal, it's not okay. So what you guys do at Youth Services at Avalon is just amazing, and it really does. So let's kind of move forward a little bit when you're talking about, because I know when I first started, and I've been with Avalon for 3 years, when I first started, we had all, remember before pandemic when we used to go to festivals?
Yeah, remember we used to have fun and like...
I know. So it's hard to really imagine, but we did do tabling events and we would go to things like the Daffodil Festival and, you know, 20,000 people a day would walk by our booth and we would talk about things. And I can remember when I was doing my first one, and we had the domestic abuse and we had all these awful pictures. And I said, you know, this is not going to bring awareness to our table because the majority of people are going to see those images and keep walking. They're not going to want to stop. So I said, well, why don't we drive these tables to more healthy relationships? Let's kind of make it fun to talk about what healthy relationships are. Let's talk about those things. And you guys, that's what you do. You do healthy relationships. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So we go into the schools and we go into the 10th grade classroom. And we do that because what we cover is on the SOL. So all of the things that we cover about how to have a healthy relationship is on the standardized testing for these students, which is great because it gives, you know, the teachers a break with some of their curriculum, and it gives us like a time to shine with something that we are very knowledgeable about, have a lot of training in, and in something that we are a local resource as well. So they can tie that together when they hear healthy relationship, abuse, Avalon Center. So it kind of brings awareness to who we are and what we do, but also like brings awareness to, hey, if this is happening to you, these are the people that you need to see. So we start from the ground up, like I said, with the foundations of how to have a healthy relationship when we first talk about it. And then as the presentation moves forward, we move into a power and control and abuse.
When you are talking to and driving it towards local areas, and you're talking to these students, you're kind of on the front line and figuring out how things go. Talk to me about what you're hearing and statistics from what's actually going on in our community.
Right. So when you hear the 1 out of 3, I mean, when I first heard it, I was like, oh my gosh. And that is more towards when people think of abuse, I think the first thing that students or somebody hears about, like you said, when they think about domestic violence or abuse, they see the awful pictures, they think about physical violence and sexual violence, which is all happening, absolutely. And that is part of the 1 out of 3. But also what's part out of the 1 out of 3 is emotional abuse, financial abuse, mental abuse, psychological abuse. All of these things are part of the 1 out of 3 as well. So a lot of times people are not highlighting what forms of abuse are happening behind closed doors. So things that are harder to see for people. When we do our presentations, we ask a variety of questions. We ask a variety of questions so that we are aware of what's going on within our schools for the students that we're assigned to in our region. But also we wanna make sure that we're capturing our work that we do, because we are a nonprofit as well, and that we're showing the state, hey, this is what's going on here. And the students, we survey them throughout all of our presentations and during our educational groups that I can highlight later if you want to talk more about that. But
yeah,
some of the statistics are really shocking and super sad. One of the biggest things that I wanted to highlight talking to you, Leslie, today is that the 1 out of 3 is on the national average. It's something that's scary and you think that it's not happening. And I'm telling you, when I do this presentation in person, every single time, the class, it is 1 out of 3 or higher in the class. After we go through what abuse is and what power and control tactics are, what emotional abuse is, psychological abuse, we go through the power and control wheel of different tactics people use in order to get power and control in a dating relationship. And every single time the students answer that question, it's over or at 1 out of 3.
Oh, it's devastating. What, you know, and do you think that's a direct result of the availability of that question and knowing this is after the presentation? So right. Now they understand, well, gosh, yes, I am.
Yes.
This is happening to me.
Yes.
It also can be, I can imagine, be kind of a light bulb going off to possible abusers. and rethinking, gosh, well, I do that because that's what I've seen maybe in my parents, or maybe that's how I know a normal relationship is. So again, you're back to stopping that cycle, and the education is probably the best way to do that. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, what's best about it is if we really go into everything with an open mind, and that's what I asked the students from the beginning. And when I first got hired at this job, and I'm sure you can attest to, is when you go in with the open mind and you're ready to learn, like, you learn a lot about yourself as well. So when we do this presentation, and I do talk about power and control tactics, power and control is a natural thing. I don't want to preach to these students like that, you know, some of these circumstances are wrong and they're abusers and they're bad people. I want to make sure that we understand the difference between being insecure in a moment and making a mistake and being an abuser.
Right.
Because those are two different things. Because a lot of times we all fall short and we all make mistakes in relationships. Relationships are hard. They're so hard. I talk to teenagers every single day and they look at me, Miss Candace, well, how old are you? Like, and then that question gets really hard every single year. And I'm like, all right, I'm closer and closer to 30. And then they're like, oh, well, you're not married. And I'm like, yeah, this is hard. Okay. This is hard.
It is.
I know all of this stuff. I teach it every single day. And this is still hard for me. So.
It's very hard. And don't think for a second that marriage isn't hard. So going back to where you are, I've been married almost 20 years. So when you go back to the beginning and you understand that it's hard and it's something that has to be worked at, I think we as a society have gotten very used to everything being right in front of us and very easy and not having to work at anything. So understanding what healthy barriers are, really.
We talk about boundaries first.
Boundaries.
Like, the first thing that we talk about whenever I go into either a healthy relationships presentation or an educational group with teenagers is talking about boundaries. Like, what are boundaries? Like,
yes.
What, it's okay to say no to something. Like, it's okay to want more space. Like, it's okay to have your own life and your own things aside from your partner.
Right.
Control is not love. And that's something that, you know, I'm constantly saying throughout both avenues of just the educational piece within the schools, but also the interactive, more intimate talking about teen dating violence when it comes to educational groups. But the other statistics that I wanted to share with you is, I know the one out of 11 was one of them about sexual abuse, but the scariest thing is when I asked the students last year, the 2019 and the 2020 school year, we had 26% of 453 students say that they were made by a partner or somebody in their life to do an unwanted sexual act. So I know we see a lot of things on TV. I know we watch a lot of things. I know we're aware of a lot of things going on, but this is happening within our youth. This is an anonymous survey, and you know, a lot of them, these are only the kids that participated. You know,
some, well, and to stop you, and 26%, that's over 100. Math is hard for me. That's over 100 students in one small community.
Right.
And I know your worth is kind of the theme for teen dating violence. And I think that's important. That's so important about where we are today and where we've been. The 26%, that's a lot.
Right. Yeah. And then also we ask a stalking question throughout our presentations, and 66% of the students, like I said, there's 453 students, 66% of them had said they've been stalked.
Oh my gosh.
Like I said in the last presentation, you know, when I go through stalking, a lot of the times the students at first will say like, oh no, no one's really followed me. But I more talk about online, because this is where the world is going right now. And
so last month was Stalking Awareness Month, and we did talk. Right. We talked a lot about stalking, and it's illegal. Not only is it wrong, it is very much illegal. We talked about context, and one of the things we talked about, and I just want to touch briefly on the stalking thing, is how important context is. And so this would be relatable for teens, because just because somebody from the outside, many times a stalking victim will come to somebody and say, you know, if I were to you, I'd come to you and say, Candace, he always knows where I am. He is following me, commenting on all of my things, and makes these statements. And he may send flowers or something to a victim. And to everybody else, they would say, I don't understand. But the context is between the victim and the stalker. The context is he knows when he sends those flowers to her, it is to frighten her. And it is, you know, so from the outside, so context is important with stalking, and especially with social media. And
right,
we're going to dive into that. I'm going to let you run off with that, because digital dating is, or digital abuse is awful.
Right. So the biggest thing that I wanted to highlight, I'm talking to you, Leslie, today, is that we are in a pandemic right now. Just because we're in a pandemic and the students are not going to school in person doesn't mean they stopped dating or they didn't talk to romantic interests anymore. The way the world is working is everybody has a cell phone and a computer or some electronic device that they could use to communicate, which is awesome. Like, it's such a great opportunity that we can keep up with people that are not right next to us anymore. You know, you could have friends from different schools. You know, you can talk to friends that are across the country, across the world. Like, it's a beautiful thing that you can keep in contact with these people, you know, show pictures of your life and really share. And just, there is such a cool platform available, like we're using right now, to talk about like change and hope and awareness. And as much as the digital world can be so awesome, it also can be so cruel.
Yeah.
And that's what I really wanted to highlight today, because, you know, in the pandemic, and this is the way that the students are talking to each other, and there is a huge problem with digital abuse. And that's what's going on right now. And that's just something that I wanted to highlight.
When we talk about digital abuse, what all does digital abuse entail? What are all of the, I know with, we could start with texting.
Right. Yeah, so when I talk about red flags with students, a lot of times they don't pick up on this one right away, because, you know, when you're first romantically involved with somebody, you just want to talk to them all the time. You know, you just want to be around them. You want to talk to them all the time. And it's something that we talk about, and it's easy to talk about because it's like such a warm, happy feeling. But a lot of times, you know, abusers can utilize texting as a means of control. Constantly contacting the person, you know, there are location features on a lot of the apps that, we can discuss, and the students, I share with that all the time. You know, your partner doesn't need to know where you are at all the time. Whether you share your location with your parent is something different. Whether your parent is checking in on you, asking where you are, who you're with, what's going on, is different than when your partner is constantly asking those questions. There's a difference between concern and control.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Another big issue that we talk about with the students during our presentation is sexting. That's a big phenomenon right now with the students. And though there's a lot of questions, and, you know, students want just about sex and what it is, and just being like curious. The problem with sexting is, especially because things online don't disappear, and that's something that the students are learning throughout their experience with digital everything. But also, sexting can have legal consequences as well. And that's something that we discuss with the youth. And though it
especially in Virginia.
Yes. Yeah, man. Just about to say, though it may be different in California or New York or something like that, in Virginia, though they're considered children as they're taking the photo and sending the photo, Virginia can charge and will charge these children as adults. So
for child pornography.
Child pornography, yes.
Yep.
And we go through, just if you take the photo, you're producing child pornography. If you send the photo, you are distributing child pornography. If you have the photo saved on your phone, that's possession of child pornography. So there's a lot, that's three different charges already. And then what's even, what could be more, and I talk about them with the flirty little text messages that they're sending back and forth before the photo, can be solicitation for child pornography.
And so what seems to be innocent and harmless ends up being a really big deal, a life-changing deal. But not only that, not only the legal side of it, should young women or young men be sending sex photos over the internet that can be construed or uploaded and put somewhere that's going, I mean, this is the difference between learning, you know, I came from a time when right in college is when everything kind of started to switch over. So I had the benefit of living before and living during and after the digital age, which I think is to my benefit. But what is to, I mean, we joke all the time. Thank goodness there wasn't Facebook when I was in college. But thank goodness there wasn't social media. So, you know, but the reality is our world has changed. Right. And the benefit for us being able to live through it and tweak it and keep our online footprint relatively something that you're going to have as an adult and not put you in harm's way is that education now. And being able to understand the consequences for sending that one photo because it's out there. Now it's gone.
Yeah. And it's different. We have different conversations depending on where we are. You know, like at a school or a church, it's going to be different than when we're at a community center that like is more open to have the conversation. I don't want to talk down or be preachy or sound like I don't understand, because we all understand like curiosity and, you know, being in love and like wanting to share like intimate things with one another. But we also need to understand the consequences to such actions. And though the curiousness is not wrong of you, it's not. So a lot of times I like to share that with students because I don't want them to feel like they're doing something terrible, like it's the worst thing possible that you're doing. It's okay. It's a mistake because, you know, there are some legal consequences. And like you were saying, you learn things about yourself and grow and different things like that. And like part of that is you're not even sure who you are yet. You don't necessarily want to share the most intimate part of you with people.
Candace, I'm well into my 40s and I'm still learning every single day. And when I say well into my 40s, I'm saying well into my 40s. And but that's the beauty of life. That's the beauty of being able to experiment and do things and learn about who you are. And again, back to teen dating violence, know your worth. But you have to learn your worth, learn your values. And that's what being a teenager is, that's what those years are for.
I mean, even in your 20s, like I, you know, and this is what I share with them too, you know, like there's different consequences to my actions if I were to do something like that. Yes. But I also have to be prepared because, you know, I have a job, you know, I have a family, like I have different things that, you know, I make decisions based off of those. And it's the same thing with students. Hey, like you have people that care about you in your life that it would very much disappoint them if something were to be exposed that they didn't necessarily want to see. So let's try to keep in mind that no matter what stage you're at, you have to make sure that you are making the best decision for you and your support system to stay healthy. And part of that is to make sure that, you know, you're staying private and with social media and with your location and Snapchat, like I said, like because 66% of students are saying that they have been stalked before.
It's on the right, one side of me says that that's a staggering statistic. And then the other side of me says, but it's a very believable statistic, the way that technology is now. I mean, it's crazy. So as a mom of teenagers, talk to me about how to have that conversation with them and how to give my children all the tools in the toolbox that they need to have healthy relationships and be healthy human beings.
When I talk to parents and professionals about like how to have a conversation with these youth, the best thing that I could be, and the best advice that maybe I can give, just because I've had this conversation a lot, is like, just to be genuine. And to like really, really speak about how difficult relationships are and just how much hard work that it takes and just what the foundation is in order to have a healthy relationship and what are the signs. No, the student may not know in the moment and may think that, oh, that's not going to happen to me. This person loves me. We're happily in love. Like, this is the best in my life.
Which makes my heart happy. I love hearing that.
I get really excited when they tell me about their partner, just how happy they are and just how they feel. The best thing that I could do is just prepare you. So I don't want to accuse. I don't want to say like, hey, but this is happening right now. I just, when I say that, I'm like, hey, like, I'm so happy for you. I am like excited for you to like continue to learn and to grow throughout this relationship. But sometimes also if you switch it on, well, your friend might be experiencing this. So listen to me about what these signs are and what power and control tactics are so that you can be prepared if it's not you. For your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And believing them. I think we talk about that first conversation that happens, and particularly when you deal with stalking, that first conversation, that friend could be looking for validation that what's happening is not right. So being that person on the other end, whether it be a friend or whether it be a parent or a counselor or ally professional, whoever, to hear that if they're bringing it up, it's a concern. And so validating that may be just the thing that they need to say, you know what, you're right. That's, I doubted myself for a second. I thought maybe I was overreacting, but I'm not. And nobody knows more about your life and your love life than you yourself.
Yeah. So that's how I open up the conversation, is saying you are an expert in your relationship.
Yes.
No matter what I say today, you are the expert. I just want to make sure that I give you the tools so that you can continue to grow into the expert that you are. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I don't know what experiences that you've had. You are the expert and you need these tools. But it's the one thing that you highlighted that I wish I would have highlighted in our previous little webinar thing is that just believing their story. Mm-hmm. Shockingly, what really hurts my heart the most, like I said, I love my job and I love having this conversation. And a lot of students really do like having the conversation with me because it's something that they can relate to. But it also really hurts my heart when we have the conversation on how to help a friend. And we bring out the wheel. And one of the first steps is believing their story. And the amount of students that say, what if they're lying, hurts my heart a little. And we have to veer towards the side and have a little side conversation before we move on to the rest of the wheel. Because the biggest thing that I say is that's not your responsibility. Whether that's like, you are not the investigator. If somebody tells you, so as their friend, your responsibility is to believe their story.
And validate concerns
and validate their feelings and tell them, you know, you don't deserve this kind of actions. Like, you don't deserve this. No one deserves this. Like you said, know your worth.
Know your worth. Like, you are better than being treated that way. And I think that's part of the cycle. I love this conversation because I always say these podcasts grow legs and they stand out. And I love that about a podcast, but each person is going to take different things, different ways. So I really feel like, I got off topic, but, this conversation is a good conversation. It's good for parents to have it. It's good for friends. The benefit of somebody coming to you and telling you that they feel like they're a victim of abuse, there's not very many benefits to coming out of that. So I think studies and science will back me up. It's almost always the truth. Right. And we need to believe them. We need to validate them. And that goes back to the cycle and stopping that cycle and understanding that what is happening is not right. So we're beating a dead horse, but
another like heartbreaking thing that we talk about during the presentations that we give, and that happens a lot more than you think it would. And it is another heartbreaking thing about my job is, you know, control. We talk about control and some of the ways that people get control over another person, and a threat is on the power and control wheel. And a lot of times, some people, you know, they threaten really awful things. And one of the things that we go through in our presentation is when a partner says, well, if you break up with me, then I'm just going to end my life, or I'm going to hurt myself, or I'm going to, and anything really violence related and detrimental to hear, especially when you care about somebody. One of the biggest things that I harp with that conversation is just that though they are experts in their relationship. Like, I don't want to take anything away from these students. Like, they might know that person better than anybody in the whole world. Like, you are a caring person and you care about the person. And if somebody says something like that, though you are an expert in your relationship, there are people that have devoted their lives, their education, their trainings, they have the tools equipped to really, really help this person if they say something like that. Mm-hmm. So I give a lot of hotline information as well as the Avalon hotline, and then, you know, just different tools and different people that they can go to that are locally available if that were to come up in conversation with their partner.
And so that is a power control thing. And we know from, well, Avalon, if you call that helpline, if we do not have the resources to get you, one thing about Avalon is we'll get it for you.
Right.
So you can call that helpline and say, look, this is what's going on. My partner, my boyfriend, my girlfriend is threatening to harm themselves if I break up with them. Now, right. that's a power statement. And while that person does need help, I'm not negating that. I absolutely, they need help. You are not in a position or qualified to help that person. So right. Like you said, we need to get them where they need to go, and phone calls need to happen. And that's where the open form of communication between parents and counselors. And if you don't feel that comfortable talking to, you know, a counselor or somebody, you can call that hotline and we won't right. ask any questions. We can help you. And I think that's important, because that happens. Unfortunately, I know two instances right off the top of my head where that has happened. And that it's very unfortunate and it's very sad. So you're not doing them any favors. Right. An empathetic person is going to want to stay with them,
right.
but you're not doing them any favors. You're yeah. actually fueling that fire to continue.
Right. And we go through the Bill of Rights, like the relationship rights as well. And one of them being like, you have the right to date who you want to date and mm-hmm. who you don't want to date. And you have the right to end the relationship if you want to end the relationship. Dating is supposed to be a fun time. And this yeah. is what I talk about with students. Like, dating is supposed to be fun. Like, you are supposed to learn about yourself. You're supposed to learn about the other person. Like, it's sometimes things don't work out, and that's not because they're a bad person or because, you know, it's just because things don't work out. Relationships mm-hmm. are hard. And if you decide that you want to date somebody else or do something else, that's completely in your right. Like, and it's going to be fun, because the next relationship that you have is going to be fun too. And you're going to learn even more about yourself and more about other people. So it's supposed to be an exciting time. It's not supposed to be this heartbreaking, awful, I don't know what I'm going to do. This mm-hmm. person says they can't live without me type of situation, because that, again, is a power and control tactic that people use. And we want to make sure that we're aware of that, so that when it is happening to us, to our friends, to our family, that we can be educated and speak up about it.
Yeah. And I love February, because we can bring these things, but we don't want the conversation to stop. So tell us about what you can do. What, you know, we talk about no more silence, time to talk,
right.
talk. And yeah. so what does the youth services of Avalon offer the community anywhere, anytime?
Right. So we can offer anything, anytime, virtually. Of course, we have a YouTube channel that is, a lot of our content is something that we would talk about in a group if we were doing educational groups in person, which is something that you can watch at your own time. But if you wanted a presentation, if you are an educator listening to this podcast or a parent and you wanted, you know, a education within your church or your school or your community, we are more than happy to do a virtual conversation and presentation now because of the pandemic, but you know.
Well, and the conversation can be, yes, I know. The conversation can be catered to, and that's what's great about the passion that we have. If you want to have a church conversation with your youth group or whoever, we can cater that conversation. We can have a conversation before and discuss topics that you want to talk about, that you don't want to talk about. The important thing is that we're talking.
And that's the main thing that I like try to talk about with professionals and parents and community leaders is I am in no way promoting your person, your child, your teenager to date anyone. That's not what I'm here for.
Exactly.
I am here to make sure that your child has all of the necessary foundations, the roots, the education and the smarts to have a healthy relationship. I'm here to make sure that your kid knows. Yes. And that's what I'm here for. And that's what I love. And like I said, we do groups that are as young as 6 and we talk about boundaries. And a cute little story about that is this summer at the YMCA, we're very active there. That's one of our main community partners. And yes. I do a group on boundaries when I first meet students. It's something that I do every single time. It sets the groundwork for healthy relationships. And we go through the different types of boundaries. And with younger kids, especially 6, you know, I try to make like hand signals of something they can remember. So, you know, mental boundaries, emotional boundaries.
I want to do it with you.
Physical boundaries, spiritual boundaries.
Yes.
So when I'm talking with 6-year-olds about that, and we'll say like emotional boundaries, mental boundaries, physical, get like wanting space. Like, so you can ask somebody, hey, like I need additional space. You're in my physical boundaries. You know, the next time that I come in, I actually hear one of the students saying, you got to get out of my space. You're in my physical boundaries.
Yes. But empowering that child to now I can see where it would be taken in the wrong way. You know, my son could tell me any day that I'm violating his physical space.
Right.
but at the same time, having that confidence and instilling that empowerment among young men and young women to be able to know their worth, to stand up and say, you know what, this is me, this is who I am. And these are my boundaries. I've established them. That is a very healthy concept. That is something that
we can talk about at all ages. Like along the lines of like emotional intelligence. You know, I really wish that people would have talked to me about healthy relationship as it relates to emotional intelligence at younger ages, because you know you're feeling a lot of things. I'm still feeling a lot of things.
I'm still feeling a lot.
It's hard to regulate those emotions and it's hard to communicate them. And we really touch on boundaries, on communication, on emotional intelligence, all before we talk about abuse in all of our presentations in our educational groups. We're here to make sure that we give you and your child the best information before they decide that they want to have a relationship with somebody.
And that's what it is. Just having the tools to be able to, as a child and as a teenager, you are in the process of creating the masterpiece that is you. So you want those tools. You want to put them together and be confident. You want to be able to have the social skills and the know-how. And it's just, gosh, what you guys do. Candace, you were made for this job. You were made for it.
It's really, really fun. It's fun. Dating is fun. So we have to make it fun and we have to make more, like you said, a conversation. I just want to have a conversation and I want to be myself and I want to be genuine about it, because like I keep harping in this conversation is I still don't have it figured out. I teach this stuff every day. Like this is hard work. And the earlier we talk about it, the better it's going to be for these students and the better it's going to be for the parents and it's going to be for the professionals. I mean, if we're all still working on it, then imagine how much these students have to catch up on it. So it's just having the conversation and being open and genuine and saying, hey, like this stuff is happening and I want to make sure that you know about it.
And real quick, I probably should start wrapping it up. I feel like I could talk to you for hours, but talk about really quick the leadership. I know when you guys are putting together leadership in the schools, correct? The leadership council.
So yeah, the educational groups that I'm talking about is related to Youth Leadership Council. It depends on the age of the student when we do the groups, and the high school is more about Youth Leadership Council. And the reason why we do this is we want to make sure that we have people, students in the school that are knowledgeable about all of the subjects that we just talked about, because only 33% of the students that are, so one out of three, which is 30%, of the students are saying that they're in an abusive relationship. Well, 33% of those students are going to actually talk about it. And when they do talk about it, they're more apt to talk to a friend than they are maybe a teacher or a counselor or a parent in their life. So the biggest thing for us is we want to make sure that the students, we have student leaders within the community that know and are trained in this, so that when they do hear of something like that, or when a student tells them about, some kind of abusive situation, that they know the resources to go to, like we talked about before, that there are people in the community like the Avalon Center that have devoted their lives, countless years of training and education, that are waiting for that exact moment to help that youth in that time of crisis.
And a friend is the best counselor you can ever have. I have, my best friend is we have counseling sessions daily. Those conversations that you think are just conversations are a form of empowerment for each other. So I love that idea of having the leadership councils. I think it's so important. And
it's fun too. I mean, talking about real life stuff with students. And though, when you think about domestic violence and sexual assault, when you think about like the adult world, it's violence and it's scary, and a lot of bad things are happening. And I think a lot of people sometimes just don't think it correlates with youth. But I'm stressing here, and why we're having this conversation and why we need a whole month of awareness, is because this violence is happening, and it's happening at a young age, and it's happening in our community. Yeah. So that's why we want to have like strong youth leaders within the school, but we also want to talk to every student about it, because every student can be a leader within their school if they're educated and they know about it.
I will say that we've talked about it, and I do it in presentations all the time. When you, to somebody who is fortunate enough to have not ever experienced sexual assault, the TV will glamorize the woman running in the park and being grabbed by a perfect stranger, and with a sexual assault will happen. But that's not how it happens. Sexual assault, unfortunately, is many times a partner, a family member, a parent, a sibling. These are all things that are very hard to talk about, and it's very unfortunate. But if we don't start the conversation, that cycle is never going to end.
Right.
So Candace, we appreciate you and all of these services.
Yeah. I'm happy to talk about them anytime. And I hope that, people are listening and they want to know more about it, or they want us to come in and talk about it. Though some of the digital abuse and some of this new age dating is new, power and control and dating abuse is not, and nope. It's not, and it has been happening to youth under the age of 18 for as long as time has, because power control is a natural thing and abuse is real, and it is rampant in all communities. So though some of this stuff is new, abuse isn't. So it's a conversation to have and not to ignore.
I agree. We agree. Well, you guys can visit avaloncenter.org, and we've got all of our links and everything up there. And of course, if you need anything, you will call our helpline. And we're here 100% confidential, 100% no charge. We are so thankful to so many of our community partners and local businesses that contribute to us and help us. And so anyway, Candace, I could talk to you for the next 2 hours. You were made for this. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good day.
You guys too. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Avalon Center's podcast, Responding with Hope, is paid for by the Department of Social Services. Avalon Center offers emergency shelter, individual and group counseling, and much more to survivors of domestic and sexual assault. If you need help, call our 24-hour hotline at 833-537-0970 or visit us at avaloncenter.org.